The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
As we move on into the book of Nehemiah, we have arrived at the point where the Jews under Nehemiah make some commitments to follow through in their obedience to God. In today's sermon, we learn about how they committed themselves to God. Some of them moved into the city of Jerusalem proper, and others populated the surrounding villages. But in each case, they committed their lives to the work of the kingdom. We ought to follow their example and commit ourselves to God as well.
Hark the voice of love and mercy sounds aloud from Calvary. See it rends the rocks asunder, shakes the earth and veils the sky. It is finished, it is finished.
go back to the book of Nehemiah. We are in the 11th chapter, about to begin the 11th chapter. And actually, the 11th and 12th chapters kind of, at least in my mind, they fit together pretty well. And what we want to talk about in these two chapters, and probably we'll just get through the first chapter tonight, but what we want to talk about in these two chapters is our commitment to God. Our commitment to God. Let's begin reading in verse 11, and we're just going to read a couple of verses. And the rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. The rest of the people also cast lots to bring one of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and 9 parts to dwell in other cities. And the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. Now, I want to stop there just to kind of give a little preview, because you remember having followed through, the Jews who came back with Nehemiah, they followed through in the immediate aftermath of the worship service that they had engaged in right for the first time, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, for the first time since Joshua's day. They didn't just stop, though, with the worship service. They followed through, and now it fell to those Jews to follow through on a more permanent basis. You know, the fervor of the initial revival was important, but the dedication to the continued perseverance, if you will, in the kingdom of God is important as well. Now, I use that word perseverance in the right way, not in the way that we're told from our Calvinist friends, you have to persevere in faith and good works in order to go to heaven. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about here and now. We're talking about the kingdom of God on earth. And we ought to persevere. We ought to press into it. And, you know, pressing into it is not a one-time thing. It's a daily thing. We have to continue to press. I was talking with Brother James and Sister Peggy as we got here to the service early this evening about how hard it was for Brother James and me. He told me he had sat down in his recliner and taken a nap, and I did the same thing. I don't usually get to do that on Sunday afternoon, but I did, and when I woke up, Brother Buddy, it was so hard to get up and come to church. It would have been so easy to call Brother Buddy Abernathy and say, "Oh, Brother Buddy, I feel sick. Would you handle the services?" But I didn't do that. I got up, and I persevered, you know. You know, I had to press into the kingdom. I had to press against myself to be here. It's important to continue to press into the kingdom. And these chapters, 11 and 12, sort of tell us how they committed to God, how they committed different aspects of their lives, including themselves, to God in their follow-through. So another thing that I want to say is that Jerusalem was the capital city of Israel, and we know that. Even after the split occurred, when the kingdom split off into the northern kingdom called Israel or Ephraim and the southern kingdom called Judah, the southern kingdom was comprised of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, and that's the line through which Judah was the line through which Christ was to come. And so they were the capital of Judah and Benjamin. The southern kingdom was still Jerusalem. Okay, now, that was the political capital of Israel, but it was also the religious center of all of the Israelites' worship, all of their country. All the Jews were focused upon Jerusalem. Now, in this day in which we live, we don't have a city that's a physical city. We don't have a place that stays the same all the time. We don't have to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, as it's called. In fact, it's not really the Holy Land. It's just, we call it that. I understand why, but it's just a land. It's still just a place, a geographic location. We don't have to make a pilgrimage there, although I would love to go sometime. But we don't have to do that in order to worship God. But in this day, the city of God, Jerusalem, was the focus. But there's a real sense in which that city of God, Jerusalem, represents the church of God today. And that's what we want to kind of think about as we go through these two chapters. In our day, the center of our focus ought to be the house of the kingdom, the house of God, or the kingdom of God, the church of the living God, and we ought to be willing to present our bodies a living sacrifice for it, much like these Jews did for the literal city of Jerusalem in that day. So let's think about it as we go through here. Notice as we begin reading here in verses 1 and 2, these Jews were committing themselves to God. They were committing themselves physically, their physical bodies. They were committing them to God. Here in this day, as I said, Jerusalem was the center of worship. It was also the political capital. And it was important for somebody to be there. It was important for someone to be in that city. The rulers were told, and the rest of the people cast lots to bring one of ten to live in Jerusalem, the holy city. And then it said in verse 2, there were others who willingly offered themselves to dwell. So some were drafted. Some volunteered, but I suspect the ones that were drafted wanted to be there. Dwelling in the city of God was a privilege in that day. It has always been a privilege, but it's often a privilege that God's people ignore. Beloved, we ought to want to be in the house of the Lord. Now, again, I know that the building is not, there's not a physical, central physical location anymore. But you know where we meet with God, where we meet in a special way with God? In the house of God, in the church of God. This place here is special to me. It's one of the most special places in my life. My home being another, but listen, if you do home right, the home is just an extension of the kingdom of God. In fact, it's the building block upon which the kingdom of God is founded, if you will. It's families worshiping. That's why we do it like we do. We don't split off into groups and, the certain age kids here and certain age kids over there and, single adults here and married adults there and older people in one place. We believe in family integrated worship. We ought to be together. We're here together. And this is the place that God has said he would be with us. Jesus himself said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. I want to be where Jesus is. Now, I know he dwells in us. I understand that. But it's a special way that he's with us when we're here. I felt like it was a special time when we were singing a while ago in the song service. It was a special time. I felt more, when we're together in the right spirit, in the right way, we're more than just the sum of our parts. There's something else here besides just us, and it is the Holy Spirit. It is Jesus himself. It is God dwelling with us in a special way here. We ought to want to be here and to dwell, not just visit. Notice he said they were going to dwell in Jerusalem. They were just going to come visit and go home and forget about it. They were dwelling there. Now, I realize we don't live physically in the church building, but our lives ought to be built around this idea of the church. We don't check it off our box and say, whew, glad to get that appointment out of the way. Let me get back to my real life. Every week, we ought to be looking forward to the time when we can be together. And don't never underestimate the importance of simply being physically present in the place where God wants you to be, okay? I heard Brother David Crawford put it this way. He said, the ministry of presence is one of the most important and crucial ministries to the church. Being here. You may not have some dramatic, widely visible ministry, okay? But everybody can engage in the ministry of presence, of being there, you see. And that's what Hebrews says, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. And the more often as we see the day approaching, in other words, I think it's talking about as we see the day of the Lord approaching, as we see the time in our lives coming when we're going to see the Lord. That may be his return. I pray and I have a sincere expectation that he will come back in my lifetime. I hope he does. Praise God if he came back before I finished preaching tonight and put an end to all this broken world that Brother Jim prayed about earlier. This broken world that's so full of struggle. It's not just the world, it's our own bodies, isn't it? I mean, I'm so tired of disappointing the Lord. I'm so tired of going out here feeling so good and then getting back out into the real world and then doing something that just goes directly contrary to the Word of God. Thinking things, acting in such a way that it would disappoint you, but especially God. You see, I'm so tired of that. I'm ready for Him to come back. But the more as I see the day approaching when the Lord comes back or He takes me home to be with Him, I'm looking forward to assembling with the saints and being here because it helps me get refocused. It helps me remember what the most important thing is. Here we saw, as we said, some, it said they cast lots to bring one of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem. I like to think that those that won the lottery, they didn't feel like they lost. They didn't feel like they got the short straw. They felt like they won. I get to live in Jerusalem. And it says, the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell in Jerusalem. And it was important to the people that there were some there that were willingly there. And that's what I believe this is teaching us here. I don't believe it's teaching us that some had to be made, some volunteered. I think it's teaching us that those that won the lottery were excited to be there, and those that didn't were envying them that got to go dwell in Jerusalem. And I'll tell you, it was important for them to be there, and it was important enough that Nehemiah wrote their names down. Now, we've seen several lists, haven't we, of people in the book of Nehemiah. In chapter 3, he listed the workers on the wall. In chapter 7, he listed those who returned originally with Zerubbabel. In chapter 8, he listed the names of the leaders that were involved in the Bible conference there at the Watergate when they preached. In chapter 10, he listed the names of 84 men who set their seals to the dedication or rededication of the covenant, okay? And I'm just going to read through these. I know it's a long, it's down through about verse 24 here. We're going to read and just see these names. Look at, just follow along with me as we read, beginning in verse 3. Now these are the chief of the province that dwelt in Jerusalem. But in the cities of Judah dwelt everyone in his possession in their cities, to wit, Israel, the priests, and the Levites, and the Nethinims, and the children of Solomon's servants. And at Jerusalem dwelt certain of the children of Judah, and of the children of Benjamin. Of the children of Judah, Athaiah, the son of Uzziah, the son of Zechariah, the son of Amariah, the son of Shephatiah, the son of Mahaliel, of the children of Perez. And it says, and Messiah, the son of Baruch, the son of Kolhozei, the son of Haziah, the son of Adiah, the son of Joiarib, the son of Zechariah, the son of Shaloni. All the sons of Perez that dwelt in Jerusalem were 408 valiant men. And these are the sons of Benjamin: Salu, the son of Meshulam, the son of Joed, the son of Padiah, the son of Kaliah, the son of Maasiah, the son of Ithiel, the son of Josiah. And after him, Gibei, Salai, 928. And Joel, the son of Zikri, was their overseer, and Judah, the son of Sanua, was second over the city. Now this was a list of the people of Judah and Benjamin who lived in Jerusalem. Okay, those were the two tribes, remember, that composed the kingdom of Judah after the nation divided. You go back to 1 Kings chapters 11 and 12, and you'll read about that. And that word, notice in verse 6, it says there were 408 valiant men. And over in, I believe, verse 14, it talks about mighty men of valor. Okay, now that can mean fighting men, it can mean warriors, but it can also mean wealthy men of substance. Like, remember Boaz? He was a mighty man of wealth. He was a man who had been faithful to God, and he was a pillar of the community, if you will. These were pillars of the community. And beginning here in verse 10, we read about the priests, okay, and the Levites and all the other temple workers. So let's read here. Of the priests, Jediah, the son of Joiarib, Jachin, Sariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Meshulam, the son of Zadok, the son of Merioth, the son of Ahitub, was the ruler of the house of God. And their brethren that did the work of the house were 822. And Adiah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Pelaliah, the son of Amzi, the son of Zechariah, the son of Pasher, the son of Malchiah, and his brethren, the chief of the fathers, 242. And Amashai, the son of Azrael, the son of Ahisai, the son of Meshilamoth, the son of Immer, And their brethren, mighty men of valor, there's those valiant men again, 128. And their overseer was Zabdiel, the son of one of the great men. Also of the Levites, here are the Levites now. And remember, the priests officiated at the altar, but the Levites, they helped them out there. They weren't all Levites. All priests were Levites, but all Levites weren't priests. And then we're also going to see as we keep going, there's some that were needed to supervise the maintenance of the building. We're going to see that here in just a couple of verses. He says, also of the Levites, Shemaiah, the son of Hashab, the son of Azricam, the son of Hashabiah, the son of Buni. And here we go with the ones who had to deal with the maintenance. It said, in Shabitha and Jozabad, the chief of the Levites, had the oversight of the outward business of the house of God. That just means they took care of the building. You know, it's important to take care of the building, isn't it? We have to have people to do that, okay? And he says, Mattaniah, verse 17, the son of Micah, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph, was the principal to begin the thanksgiving in prayer. And Bakbukiah, the second among his brethren, and Abda, the son of Shemua, the son of Galal, the son of Jeduthun, all the Levites in the holy city were 242. Moreover, the porters, Akub, Talmon, and their brethren that kept the gates were 172. And the residue of Israel and of the priests and the Levites were in all the cities of Judah, everyone in his inheritance. Now, notice what we saw in verse 17. There's a man named Mattaniah who was the primary one to begin the Thanksgiving prayers. He was in charge of the public prayers. Down in verse 22, we're going to see the overseer of the Levites was Ozzi, the son of Bani, the son of Hashabiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micah, of the sons of Asaph, the singers were over the business of the house of God. There were singers there too that were in charge, all in charge of prayer and praise, if you will. Prayers to God and praising his name. In verse 20, we see that there were still some that lived out in the cities. But notice in verse 21, the Nethinims, which were temple workers, dwelt in Ophel. And Ziha, the Gispah, were over the Nethinims. That Ophel was the tower there in Jerusalem. And then we saw, as we've already seen, verse 22, the overseer of Jerusalem, of the Levites of Jerusalem, was Uzi, and he was over the business of the house of God. They were singers. Verse 23, for it was the king's commandment concerning them that a certain portion should be for the singers, due for every day. And Pethahiah, the son of Meshazabel, of the children of Zerah, the son of Judah, was at the king's hand in all matters concerning the people. Now, I want you to notice in verses 23 and 24, in that day, they were blessed that the secular authorities were working hand in hand with them to help to promote the work of rebuilding and maintaining the city of God. So, now, notice that it took, we're going to stop right there just for a moment, okay? Notice that it took many people with many different skills to maintain this city of God, Jerusalem, and its ministry, okay? And notice that they listed all of them here. I know that's a boring list, okay? But I want you to think about something. I want you to remember, as we've said this before when we've read some of these lists, remember that our Heavenly Father sees and records what we do in the service of His kingdom. If you go back to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16 sometime, notice what it says there in Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. That's what we do, isn't it? We get together on Sunday morning, Sunday night, some Wednesday nights. Other times we get together in fellowship and we see each other. We like to see each other during the week. We like to talk to one another during the week. It says, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. The Lord noticed. He sat up and took notice and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Now that's amazing, isn't it? It seems the world doesn't record that we're here tonight or that we were here this morning. The world doesn't care. I dare say that the governor of the state, I dare say that the president of the county commission has no idea whether we're meeting right now or not. But the God of the universe hearkens and records it in his book of remembrance. It was written before him for them that feared the Lord. God remembers, he notices what we do in his service, as menial and ignominious as the service you may think the service is, it's not so to God.
We're going to pause the message here for now. We want you to join us again tomorrow where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.